Jacob, Jacob, Joe and Jacob. Agile monkeys play. Jacob, Jacob, Joe and Jacob. Agile, unpredictable Jacob.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Jacob. Hey, Jacob.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
I am over the moon. Do you know why?
No, tell me.
Well, because we've been hopping all over Europe and America, but we're finally getting closer to our neck of the woods, Asia.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are we going?
We're going to go to Vietnam. And I think you know these two people that we'll be talking to.
Yeah. We are talking to Sherry Fu and Rob England. Hi, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Right. So where are you now?
So we are currently in a caravan in the middle of the South Island.
It's so crazy. and you guys are getting a good signal too.
New Zealand has the Rural Broadband Initiative, which is really high powered broadband antennae for keep the farmers happy.
Yeah, man, they have to take their selfies too.
Yeah. So you are in New Zealand, but you work in Vietnam, is that correct?
We work both in Vietnam and in New Zealand.
And at the moment, most of our work is Cherry here doing training in Vietnam from a caravan in the middle of the South Island in New Zealand.
Oh my gosh.
How cool. We're existing in
so very cool. For anyone who might be a little bit geographically challenged, can you describe on a map where you'd find Vietnam?
I better do it.
If anyone knows China, is we are at the border, our north border is in East China.
Okay.
And we have Korea next to Laos, Cambodia, and Thailand.
Yeah, so tucked into the Southeast Asian group, just underneath China.
Fantastic.
With a very tense relationship with China, like most countries around there.
So you both own a company together, is that right?
We do.
Yeah, we do.
It's called.
And I'm the boss.
You are the. Oh, okay.
For somebody who coaches executives, your grasp on corporate governance is tenuous.
You remember, you have to sleep with the CEO to get the job.
All right, this is already the best episode we've recorded so far. can you tell us a little? So go ahead.
There's a company which goes back 15 years called Two Hills. But we brand ourselves together, working together, as Teal Unicorn. Which
why,
is all the buzzwords wrapped up in
teal
one.
Teal and why unicorn? Is it just like a random, is this like a thing where you put a bunch of names in a cup and shook it around and then just picked them out? Or is there some significance around teal and unicorn?
Yeah, so teal comes from Lalu and reinventing organizations, and teal has entered the language. So we're part of the teal network around the world and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's a thing. So teal is the highest state of culture that humans have ever achieved, according to that particular model. And unicorn is DevOps speak, right? For the highest level of operating model that you can achieve.
Right.
Companies
right.
that nice. Are indistinguishable from magic. So we thought that put the two together, it was a nice image for what we aspire. So our motto is make work better, better results, better lives, better society. They're our aspirations.
And you do it both in New Zealand and Vietnam. How exciting.
It's good fun.
Yeah. So when did you start working in both countries? Was it like this forever or
no. When
did you start?
I started working in Vietnam since 2018. So one of my friends who's a CEO of the top 10 garment companies in Vietnam, that called Gaco 10, she invited me to come to help her she just wanted to leave the good galaxies for legacies for her next generation before she got a retirement. So,
oh, that's so cool.
That's the reason. Yeah,
that's probably, I don't think I've ever heard of such a noble way of exiting for a CEO in my life.
Yeah.
like I just want to have a good legacy before I go. That's pretty amazing.
Can I plunge straight into deep philosophy, right? Because something I've written about a bit is that in the West, we've separated science and truth from ethics and goodness and art and beauty, right? The three transcendental. Mm-hmm. So we've split science off, and all our business is very truthy, very sciencey, very objective and cold. And Asian cultures, under the influence of Western culture, are doing that. But their cultures never did that. It was the Enlightenment that did it. So when you get into Asian cultures, they're much more united in truth, beauty, and goodness, all three. And their business is driven by truth, beauty, and goodness. But the Western influence has screwed most of that. But there's still, She was a Buddhist and had become, like many people as they get older, become more religious. And so, yeah, she really wanted to leave a happy legacy when she retired from Garko Ten.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. So when did agility, agile little A, become something that was more commonly known about in Vietnam? And do you know how it got introduced?
Yes, when I, after working for Garko Ten, I did kind of, spreading the idea around the business communities in Vietnam. I start from some CEO group in big cities like Ho Chi Minh City or Hanoi or Bắc Ninh or some other cities. And from that, and also through the Facebook networking, they have many, many big groups. It's a management group for CEO and managers. They have about like 50,000 members. Can you believe that?
Wow.
And so some people asking me, my friends asking me like, Cherry, your idea is totally different to the rest of us or business community there. Yeah. So can you write something, please? Can you write something about what you are doing and what's the result and what's the idea is about? And so I start writing some articles, and it's become a big thing in Vietnam. Just start from, I think I start from 2018. And it become a thing in 2019 when I came back to Vietnam to talk with the huge, it's like few thousands people.
Wow.
In different groups.
So it's still kind of new there.
Yeah.
Capital A Agile software development, the ideas were already there, but really business agility, was there anyone talking about it before you did?
No, it's only me. So when it kind of, it's big thing in Vietnam, and people start, even they have some other groups that's talking about what Cherry is talking about, you know. and so far that group, you know, it's a lot of people coming to me say, Cherry, I want some training. I want to do what you just introduced. And we start coming back to Vietnam and do a serious training for Agile managers, becoming an Agile manager and Agile enterprise. Since then, people start talking about Agile, you know, the words Agile start splitting around.
I don't know where we can peel off from this a whole lot of ways, but the translation that Cherry used for Agile was a bit different to what other people were using for Capital A Agile.
Okay.
So she used Lin Huat, which is sort of flexible.
Right.
for talking about the business agile, and that word is popping up everywhere, which really came from Cherry. So we can kind of tell where the seeds came from. Whereas, well, yeah, they use a different word for capital.
Oh, they stick with agile.
They just say agile. Yeah.
Yeah. So the words that I translate from agile is linh hoạt in Vietnamese. So quản lý linh hoạt is agile management. Yes.
Okay.
Agile management has become a thing in Vietnam since then.
That's so cool.
So you keep talking about capital A and what's the opposite of capital A?
Little a.
So can you tell us more? Where does it come from?
Well, so when I met Cherry 4 years ago, and I was already cross learning from the DevOps world into business agility, and picking up on Steve Denning wrote The Age of Agile, which was a compilation of articles about business agility, and that was very influential on me. And Lalu, of course, Reinventing Organizations. And so I was immersing in that when I met Cherry, and Cherry's expertise is CEOs, leadership, teaching and running companies and things like that, and nothing to do with IT. So I said, hey, let's work together. I'm moving into this domain. And so I sort of taught Cherry about agile, and she injected the whole business side of it, the experience and skills in.
Put it this way. So when I ran my business in Vietnam, I have my own three companies in Vietnam. And at the time, back then, I have no ideas, because agile haven't born yet, right? This was 20 years ago, so nobody knows what it is. And it's kind of just very new to anyone. So when I start learning about agile, I said, it is what I did with my companies, with my people. So practically it's something that I've done for a long time. Yeah. But it's when I read the theory, I said, that's not something that I don't know. I know exactly how to practice it.
so philosophically, again, there's a stronger element of collaboration in Asian cultures in general than there is in Western, who are much more individualistic and command and control. And so the Western ideas are very strong in Vietnam now, but underlying that, 300 staff can still kind of organize themselves with a couple of people shouting, waving their arms, and everybody else just getting the work done. So, it's in the culture to work in a self-organizing way. So to your point, Jakob, about what is small A versus capital A, everybody thinks capital A, they mean the Agile Manifesto, software development, Scrum. And so we talk about small A to say, no, we're talking about how the word agile has come to be used in the business context, which is a much more broader meaning of agile as an adjective, not agile, so capital A is a noun. Yeah. We do agile. It's a thing, the agile, whereas small a agile is an adjective. We want to be agile. It's an agile company, an agile manager. Mm. It's a descriptive of something much broader than just.
It's evident, right? Mm. Yeah. Mm. Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. You bring us to another question we had about Vietnam when you were talking about sort of cultural attitudes towards cooperation, collaboration. In your thoughts and experience, what do you think makes Vietnam a great place to deliver with with either DevOps or business agility?
Low-hanging fruit.
Yes. The way the management level or culture is very low in Vietnam, actually. So we be able to achieve fast and great results after some time, just because literally the management system is just too bad. It is bad.
Although I have to say, I've seen some pretty appalling ones in New Zealand too, hey guys. So, it's not like we don't have some really green fields here as well. But yeah, there's not even an awareness, let alone a capability.
Mm.
So what Sherry's talking about is kind of new.
Yes, and it's not only that, but you know, that's the one thing. Most of the clients, most successful clients are women. And you will be surprised that it's about 95% of women who are the CEO or high ranking managers.
Of your clients. Who come to Cherry. Yeah. The ones who are open to these ideas are all women. Not
fantastic.
All, nearly all women.
They are very, very open-minded, and they are strong. And when they think or they believe that this is a great idea and they want to have that kind of organization, and then they just go and they do it, you know, very persistent with what they're doing.
Whereas the men tend to be in a suit, old school, command and control, think all the Western business ideas are the fantastic ones, don't like being told by a woman what to do.
Mm.
So our male clients tend to be younger and more open-minded males too. The old blokes are hard work. There are exceptions. There are some who get it, but statistically, a lot of the clients who come to Cherry are women. So we're sort of operating in a niche where it is fertile field for these ideas. Across the bulk of Vietnam, I think it's still pretty stony ground. Until we start succeeding, and then they'll all be interested, right?
Yes, and I think the good thing is that the communities now, I am a founder of Business Agility Vietnam, and also I have a club like Agile Manager, the Agile Manager Clubs, which have a few thousands, and people start talking about their experience and they're successful in new ways. So people start being curious and they want to try. They want to try more and more. So that's not the thing, I think, because they mostly people who came to us, they are open-minded and they see what people do and the result people get, telling from them, not from me. You know, they tell the story to the world that this is what we did and this is what we get and how fantastic it is. So I think that is a good thing that we learned so far and we achieved the good results. Amazing. Because of that.
Yeah, it's really interesting because you're supercharging. I mean, so I'm reading into a lot of what you're saying, so please correct me if I'm misinterpreting, but you're kind of supercharging a part of the culture that people don't expect to be supercharged. Mm.
Coming in through a side door.
Yeah, have you put any thought into it, or do you have any aspirations for how you think this could affect Vietnamese culture in a positive way, like coming at it from a different part of the culture where people don't have certain expectations that maybe now they will of other people?
I think we're definitely empowering women, which feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing a lot of work in family areas as well as business, which feels good.
Family areas?
Hmm?
Family areas? What do you mean by that?
When we run the training on business agility, there's a guy who is a lecturer of the marketing lecturers. He said that if you can apply this into family context, because all of the example that I talk is about family context to make people easy to understand, right? because it's an all new concept. If you talk it too complicated, they don't understand.
And the Vietnamese are sort of like the Italians of Asia. So they're very family oriented, very emotional. So
Italians of Asia, I love it.
So
family analogies really work.
Yeah. And then he suggests that why don't I just have a 2 hours talk about Agile in family. And like, so I said, okay, that's good. So I put it together as a training course, talking about how new ways can apply into family. And since then, people require it more. And then I develop it more. So now I have about 6 training on family. Agile communication, family communication, Agile
coaching.
The parenting as Agile coaching, Kanban family.
So visual family, visualization of family organization.
Wow.
Kanban and poker yoke and, right.
And the Agile manager, Agile mother. So
the Agile mother, okay.
The Agile mother, it's all sorts of things. So that become a big thing. And also, with a friend who's very famous in Vietnam, I join her in a Facebook group. It's a parenting group.
Okay.
Now we have 32,000 members.
Wow.
And lots of them is my student who came to my training, who came to my both parenting, Agile parenting and Agile manager training.
And so when we run the family things, Cherry has 2 sons and I have a son and a daughter. And the 2 sons sort of came to New Zealand 8 years ago.
Mm.
And so Cherry involves them in the stories, in the book, and gets them onto webinars and things. And David is 18, and so he's kind of like, oh, no, I have, you know. And Sherry pesters him into actually doing it. And so every time we do it, when we finish, I say, dude, we just made the lives of a handful of Vietnamese teenagers better. Because a whole part of the training is, you know, the Vietnamese idea of parenting is a very, very old-fashioned confusion. You know, spare the rod and spoil the child, beat them, discipline them, yell at them. And so, you know, we never get through a session without somebody crying when they realize what they've been doing to their kids.
That's so powerful.
Yeah. So every time we finish, I say to David, dude, we just made the lives of a bunch of kids better. And he goes, yeah, I know. and so it lines him up to do the next one. He understands that he's a force for good every time he tells parents to chillax and get off their back and let them be them and they'll be okay. And it's all right if they game 4 hours a day. It doesn't mean they're going to hell and they're going to fail at school. You know, generally just trying to introduce a few Western ideas. I say we're like the Dr. Spock of Vietnam. I mean, the ideas we're promoting are like 1960s Western parenting.
But there's stickies involved, right? Because it's agile.
Yeah, it's got
a post-it. That's fantastic. I mean, so you, it's so interesting. You know, like the make work better sort of thing. It's obviously not, you haven't limited yourself to work. It almost sounds like make culture better. When you get into the whole parenting and like the, you know, just applying sort of these agility concepts into just living, that's amazing.
And it's wonderful that, again, about coming in the side door, it would be literally life-threatening to try and change the political system of Vietnam. So to go full-on political would risk our lives. But by coming through culture and family, we can make a lot of change without setting off all the tripwires of the Communist Party, because Vietnam is still one of the 3 most oppressive regimes on earth, right? So from a political point of view, we've got to be very, very careful, but yes, we don't need to worry if we stick to family and business, because that's, everyone wants more money and happier families.
Mm.
You know?
And so far, it's not about the talk, but the results. Every single day, I got stories and results from people, how they change their behavior to good to their kids or to their staffs, and make their lives better, and everyone's happier. That's why I feel like so great to do that kind of thing. You know, it's not only the idea, but it's also people have they all want to have better life and make their surrounding peoples around them happier, right? But they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do it. And they have a lot of believing inside or traditional ways of doing things that it's been what they want. Mm. So I often explain to them, look, you've been doing it for long and you see the result. So if you keep doing that, you can have a new result, better result. So change it. Just even if you don't trust me, I said, even if you don't trust me, you just try. Try to do a little thing, empower people, relax with your children, just ask them, respect them rather than telling them or beating them, or just train a little bit, see how the results come. And when they get the result, it's just when I speak to my kids like the way I speak to my friends, my kids change their behavior. So yeah, from that, quick wind, they believe it more and they do it more.
There's enormous potential in our culture, in New Zealand, in the West, in the, you know, because I get around the world, right? It's not just New Zealand, that there are managers everywhere who don't know how to do this, and who, if they do know how to do it, they're locked in an organizational system that won't allow them to do it. And because Cherry has that executive level access, it's so obvious to me how we could apply these ideas in New Zealand or in the US or anywhere where your people are listening. Is we just need to convince as high up the tree as we can to be nice to people. It's really not that hard, you know. If we can just change the behaviors, there's a fabulous book. Have you seen Humanocracy from Gary Hamel that came out very recently?
Seen the book cover, but it's on my
Read it. It's just stunning. He says it's bureaucracy that's the poison and humanocracy that's the antidote.
Humanocracy, I like that. It's the
most wonderful book. And that's what Sherry's doing. She's doing humanocracy. And that's what we need in the West, is humanocracy, is a people-centric culture. And that's the heart of Agile too, right? It's a humanistic approach. Our formula. I think the things we do would be just as successful in the West as they are in there. It's really simple.
Yeah, it just reminds me of the Lean principle of respect for people, right? The center of everything.
That's it.
Yeah.
And love. Respect and love and trust.
It's so funny that I love the approach, because there's almost an assumption that people actually want to be nice to other people, but they just might not know how.
Yeah.
Or dare.
or dare.
That's not what you do at work. That's just not how managers are supposed to be. Can I say asshole on your podcast?
We yes, don't edit.
So managers, only if you mean it. They're supposed to be assholes. They think it's part of the job description to be pricks to their staff. They think that's actually how you manage. That's what they've learned, command and control. And they think that if they're nice, that they'll be weak managers and that everyone will run all over them. And they don't understand how you can be a human manager.
Right.
So let's say I'm an agilist. Let's say I do the whole business agility or DevOps stance, and I'm somewhere else in the world, maybe in New Zealand, maybe in Australia, perhaps in the United States, perhaps in South America, perhaps in Europe, any of the other places we've been already. And I'm like, Vietnam, huh? Low-hanging fruit. I want to give it a crack. What are some things that a person, an agilist, might want to consider? Let's say they get a job offer. from an organization to say, come and teach us your business agility ways, or let's say they want to break into the market, what are some things they'd have to consider? What are some things they definitely have to have ready before they enter into Vietnam ready to work?
I think the language barrier is a really big issue.
Yep.
Because I see, so I work with a lot of international experts before, for the when I was back in Vietnam working with the Germans or Danish or many others, and I realized that the biggest problem to them is that they bring all sorts of Western ideas without knowing the culture, without knowing the language. Then they just kind of all, you know, pretending like if you do this, the outcome will be that. But it never worked that way. And I see a lot of waste in even in the World Bank or UNDP's projects or things like that, or experts coming from different culture. They don't come with the, like, for example, when we start, whenever I start with any organizations in Vietnam, I start with, what is your pain? What is your team pain? What is your customer's pain? We start with that painful.
But the agilists will think that's how I work, but that language barrier is just immense. And it's not just Westerners, the Koreans, the Chinese, the Japanese. They all come trying to do business, and they all face the same challenge.
Yeah, but more people that I work with, maybe the agile people, I think, but the language is challenged. You really, really need to understand, not only knowing the boss, because you may have the Western's boss, but the Western's themselves don't understand the culture.
Right.
That's the problem, right? They may support, they may do the right thing, but they can't speak to people, they don't understand the language. So that's
been our secret formula, is, you know, that I'm tapped into the Western networks of knowledge and this stuff, and Cherry is a force of nature in Vietnamese. She's just magnificent to watch. And so this, the Dr. Vu, who has lectured to some of the most powerful people in Vietnam and owned her own companies, blah, 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 people listen, and she's articulate and native Vietnamese. So for people who don't have that to try and get into Vietnam, we've met them. We've met people living in Saigon and Hanoi who are Europeans trying to do business in Vietnam. And they do. But it's heavy weather just because of the language.
That's so funny. Even in New Zealand, we get people from, like, say, Germany or Spain or Brazil who speak great English, but even though the language seems to be the same, the cultures are significantly different.
Yeah.
And the way that they come across with the best intentions and then putting on their best show in their home country that gets like 98% results, almost always, here can have quite the negative effect. So, even when language is the same, not understanding a culture can make it, you can't even hear what you're doing wrong because you don't understand the nuances.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's kind of difficult. I see people do in Vietnam, they do mostly is training rather than coaching or consulting.
Because training can be more one way, and people can sit there and pretend they're understanding the English, and the trainer goes away thinking they've talked.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I've talked a lot, so it got through, right? So you guys kind of recommend pair consulting then, one local and then one having access to some sort of desired culture sort of thing.
Yeah, you need a local partner for sure.
I think so. I think it's really need to have local partners, otherwise hard, really.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it's probably a good idea to be sleeping with them, otherwise they'll just run off with all your IP.
Wow, that is, I think this is some groundbreaking advice. I have never in all my years in business heard this. I think there's a revolution at our door.
Yeah. what at the heart of all, we sum up business agility as human systems adaptability. Right, there's all the human aspects, there's all the systems thinking aspects, and there's all the adaptability and agility. And you know, the human aspect is about bring your whole self, and you know, our life and work are just so blurred. You know, people try and say you should keep them separate, but you know, we work 7 days a week, 50 weeks a year, and we just, but we don't work.
Which is why you're in a caravan in the South Island while also working and talking to us. You make it all work at once. It's
extraordinary.
Awesome.
Amount of fun working. And boy, when we were going to Vietnam for 2 or 3 weeks every 2 months, that was fun. That was just I miss it like
And so when you were talking about your stories, you were mentioning writing a lot, and I know, Rob, that you had a blog, or maybe you still do, and then you wrote a couple of books together and then separate. Tell us more, where we can read more about your work.
Well, I had a blog called The IT Skeptic, which statistically about 1 in 10 of your listeners will have heard of, but he retired at the end of last year. And so tealunicorn.com is, we still blog there. And a lot, write a lot at tealunicorn.com. Together we wrote the book The Agile Manager, small a, available from all good Amazons. And and now Cherry has written a book in Vietnamese about family.
Agile Parenting.
Which sold out in 4 hours. And so we're in the process of translating that into English, that we will actually put that out as well.
So it's become the how to call it, the bestseller ever in parenting book in Vietnam.
What?
Amazing.
That is amazing.
So we just make a decision to reprint just in within four hours. 3,000 books sold out in 4 hours.
That's amazing. And have you been getting feedback from people who've read the book as well? Like, are they writing to you? And
yes, they did. I have a huge number of feedback. Oh, good. So far, so good.
that is just, wow, that's mind-blowing. It sounds like the culture is very hungry for change.
But it's not my book. Rob just too humble to say that, so I put his writing on family and my son's David when he was from 9 to 13. He keep writing every single day, as you know. He wrote a lot of articles, so I chose some of them and put it in the book.
Oh, fantastic.
So it's become three authors' book.
Yeah, nice.
So we have the angle father, mother, and son.
Makes sense.
Brilliant.
Actually, I think it adds credit to the whole book, right? Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you. It was amazing to hear the stories.
Thank you.
Completely amazing.
And learn about Vietnam, like. I don't remember ever learning about Vietnam other than history.
There's 100 million Vietnamese, right? So it's
it's
what, over a quarter the size of the USA in population, but it's not a lot bigger than New Zealand geographically. And it's, you know, I went up there expecting paddy fields, and I expected something a bit like Manila or North Korea. And it's not. It's this wonderful, prosperous, wealthy, orderly country. It's just the most, maybe it's a tough place to do business, but it's definitely a place to visit. It's a wonderful place.
Okay. I think even doing business, you still have a chance, right? It's out of 100 million people.
It's got to be.
Yeah, those are good odds. Just hook 1% and you're doing all right. Yeah. Right?
The guys we met were clearly making a living.
Yeah. Right?
They were. They did still sort of cry on my shoulder about the challenges, but they were clearly making a living. So, yeah, it's doable.
Yeah, I think it's doable. Don't worry too much. Just go, find a chance.
And I always tell people I saw more guns in Euston Station in London than I've ever seen in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You know, I sort of went there expecting armed cops everywhere, and there's none of that. You know, it's just, it's lovely.
Wow. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Any other questions?
No, I think we're out of time.
No.
We are, but yeah, thank you very much for taking us on tour of Vietnam and also inviting us into your caravan.
Yeah, our pleasure.
Talking to our brother Kiwis.
That's right. One from Poland, one from the US, but Kiwis now.
That's right. And one from Vietnam.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, those chefs is Kiwi as well.
Hmm?
I thought that you are the America.
Yeah, but they're Kiwis now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
One big familia. And thanks to all of our listeners for joining us on our trip to Vietnam. We'll connect with you next time. Bye. Cheers.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.